Today on Seculo, the Palestinians threaten the U.S. and Israel ahead of Joe Biden's visit. We'll also be joined by Senator Marsha Blackburn and Senator Ted Cruz.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, too, 1-800-684-3110. We got a packed first half hour of the broadcast. Joining us in the next segment of the broadcast, Senator Ted Cruz, then Senator Marsha Blackburn. Of course, you've got Joe Biden going overseas. We're going to be talking about some of that. And this threat by the Palestinians. Let me tell you something, folks. We put this in our chat yesterday when we were preparing the show today. Anytime a Palestinian, weak Palestinian, old Palestinian leader who has stolen so much money from his own people, foreign aid, and at this point in his life decides he's still going to threaten the United States and Israel if they don't get their way, the Palestinian Authority we're talking about specifically, so that's the West Bank governing authority, that they are going to take some actions against the United States and Israel. The only time they would ever do that, Dad, is when they knew they could say it to a president who's so weak,
right,
even if they don't take any actions, they can puff their chest out and act tough to the United States of America because our president and this current administration is so seen as so weak worldwide. We saw that at NATO. We saw that at the summits, at the European summits.
Yep.
Now we're seeing it already play out in the Middle East before he's gotten there.
Well, you got a list of demands. I mean, you got the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, that stays in power only because the Israeli security forces allow it to happen. Because if the Israeli security forces were to withdraw, which is one of the things that Mahmoud Abbas says, he will cancel the security agreement, he would be out of power because Hamas would take over just like they did in Gaza. Here's what they want. They want to shut down they want to reopen the U.S. consulate in East Jerusalem. That was because we moved the embassy to Jerusalem, which serves all of Israelis. But that's not good enough, so they want that reopening of this U.S. consulate in East Jerusalem. They want the reopening of the PLO representation in Washington. They had an office, like a diplomatic outpost. And they want the removal of the PLO from the from Congress's list of terror organizations. These are the demands from Mahmoud Abbas to the president of the United States as he's about to meet with him. So this is, look, there's been a total reshaping in the Middle East. And here's the problem. Rather than building up on the Abraham Accords, which changed the whole dynamic, what you have happening is President Biden's going back to failed policies again. Don't placate the PLO. It has never worked. They are a terrorist organization. They are only, their limited power is only there because of Israeli security. And they, oh, by the way, and the PLO is saying if all these things don't happen, they're going to remove the Israeli Security Pact agreement. Like, and as I said, they'll last about 15 minutes when that happens.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, so we're going to take your calls, your thoughts, but we're going to talk about this with Senator Cruz. We're also going to talk about the border. We're going to talk about the President Biden meeting with the President of Mexico today on that. So, of course, it's a senator from Texas. You don't want to miss that out. Of course, the economic issues as well. In the second half hour of the broadcast, we'll have the live report from our director of ACLJ Jerusalem on this upcoming visit by President Biden, not just to Israel or the Palestinian territories, but also to Saudi Arabia as well. Let me remind you, we talk about the two U.S. senators coming on right away in the broadcast, back-to-back, and we have our office in Jerusalem. This is all because of your support of the ACLJ, that we're able to be involved in all of these issues, economic issues, national security issues, issues involving Israel, issues involving our border. We're able to always expand and continue to expand our expertise and work because of your financial support of the ACLJ. That's how we do it. That's how we pay the bills, but also expand the team at the ACLJ. So I encourage you, we've got a matching challenge month right now, this month of July. And I know things are tough. I know that, the economy, it's tough to predict right now. But I want to say for people who are in a position to donate, if donating $20 right now, it's great because effectively that's like $40 for us at the ACLJ. So it doesn't have to be a huge donation to make a huge impact for the American Center for Law and Justice, especially if all of us listening take part in the matching challenge month of July. You donate online at aclj.org. Double your impact if you're financially able to do it right now. It's a great time to support the work because you double the impact. Be right back with Senator Ted Cruz. All right, welcome back to Secure. We're about to be joined by Senator Ted Cruz, and we'll talk about a lot of these issues we just talked about in the first few minutes of the broadcast. Right away, of course, what's making the most news, of course, is President Biden heading overseas to visit the Israeli leaders, which is in flux. An interesting point there, because it's kind of an interim prime minister in Israel, Lapid. But then the meeting is getting a lot of attention because he called and said he was going to make them a pariah state and punish the Saudis. Now he's going to Saudi Arabia in the middle of an oil and gas crisis in the U.S., energy crisis in the U.S., trying to say it's everything. It's about everything but oil and gas.
Right.
It's about security. It's about this. I get that there's other issues they got to talk about, but securing your energy supply is actually one of your top national security issues for any country. And so I think, again, there's going to be a lot of eyes on, does he have the one-on-one with Mohammed bin Salman? Do they show that with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia? Is it a group meeting? I mean, you know, like, what do we actually see visually? Because the criticism of President Biden is very high right now inside the Democrat Party.
It sure is.
I mean, they're using, and I think that's to try and distance themselves as much as possible from his policies leading into, or him in general, leading into the midterms. So they're acting like, we're going to replace this guy. Don't worry about him. Elect us. We'll find a new president.
Reminds me very much of when Jimmy Carter was running for re-election, and Ted Kennedy ended up running against him and almost beat him in the primaries. Because the country was in a very bad state politically and economically too, honestly. And I think that the reality was that it's a very similar feeling and sentiment. I mean, here he's going to turn Saudi Arabia into a pariah state. Instead, he's going over begging for oil. We were energy independent 19 months ago. We're totally energy dependent now. We've got the highest inflation in the world, one of the highest inflation points in the world. And I just think that we've got to realize that the fact is that we're in a very dangerous spot right now, politically, economically. And then you got Mahmoud Abbas's statements, which tells me that the rest of the world recognizes how weak we are, or how weak they perceive us to be, that Mahmoud Abbas could start, you know, issuing demands. Then you've got the crisis on the border. So put it all together, and what do you have? A disaster. Now, let me tell you what we're doing at the ACLJ. Because I think this is important for people to understand. So on these issues, like in the Middle East, we have an office in Jerusalem. In fact, as Jordan said, later in the broadcast, you're going to hear from Jeff Balaban. He's our director. He runs the office in Jerusalem, in the heart of Jerusalem, too. And so we're influencing policy right where the policy is developing, and that is in Israel. So we work in Judea and Samaria. We work throughout Israel. So you've got that aspect of the work of the ACLJ. Our government affairs team has been working on multiple issues, whether it's the codification issue of Roe versus Wade that we talked about yesterday, or if it's border security. And look, the reality is, I think right now you're seeing, and then you see this program every day, 5 days a week, fully produced for TV and radio. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We are in that matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. That's aclj.org, and any amount you donate, we'll get a matching gift. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I want to play. This is from Jake Sullivan. This is what they're proud of, the Biden administration. Now, I want to put this into context, because leading up to this trip, President Biden is saying, I mean, President Abbas is saying about President Biden, if you don't do what we want, we're going to take actions against the United States. But yet the Biden administration is saying all the great things they've done for the Palestinians. By the way, the Palestinians are not acknowledging, as usual, Bite 16.
We've reestablished diplomatic ties with the Palestinians that had basically severed under our predecessor. Working with Congress, we've restored approximately $500 million in support for Palestinians, and we've reaffirmed unequivocal U.S. support for a two-state solution, which had come into question over the previous 4 years. And under President Biden's leadership, we helped end a war in Gaza, which easily could have lasted months, in just 11 days.
Well, I mean, what policies are they talking about?
And not policies that the Palestinians care about either.
I think that's a big part of the problem. They're so out of touch with what's really going on that their statements are not even accurate as to what is taking place on the ground right now. I want to focus for a moment. I want your calls on this. We've got a situation right now where, and you're feeling this at the pump, you're feeling this in the food costs, that these policies are having a direct economic impact on you, on us, everybody. I want to know how that's impacting you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And for those of you that are concerned about the situation in the Middle East, which impacts oil, I mean, you got to look, the Iranians are preparing to put drones into the hands of the Russian army. And Jake Sullivan says, and that's not going to affect our negotiations for an Iranian nuclear deal. I mean, that's literally what they're saying. Take a listen to this bite. Is this the Jake Sullivan bite?
This is him announcing that they're doing it.
Yeah, here it is about the drones.
The Iranian government is preparing to provide Russia with up to several hundred UAVs, including weapons-capable UAVs. Initial training sessions slated to begin as soon as early July. This is just one example of how Russia is looking to countries like Iran for capabilities.
Yeah, and then John Kirby, do we have that bite? Now listen to what John Kirby, this is the spokesperson. John Kirby, Admiral Kirby, works in the White House. You just heard what Jake Sullivan said. They're giving drones, armed drones, from the Iranians to the Russians. Here's what Admiral Kirby says.
How is this going to affect efforts by the U.S. to potentially revive a nuclear deal with Iran?
Well, I don't know that this necessarily has any effect on our efforts to try to get a nuclear deal with Iran. It certainly is going to affect our efforts to continue to support Ukraine. We have to see exactly how the Russians move forward here with the Iranians on these UAVs and what they get, how many, and how they use them. So we'll be watching that closely.
You realize what he said? It's not going to affect, this doesn't necessarily have an effect on our efforts to try to get a nuclear deal with Iran. Really? Well, what does have an effect on getting the nuclear deal with Iran? I mean, by the time they get the deal, the Iranians will probably have very close to nuclear capability. So that's what's the fallacy of all this, Jordan.
Yeah, I think that, again, when you go to this whole issue of where they are looking at that, you know, Iranian drones being sent to the Russians, oh, we're just going to pay attention. We're going to watch that. We're going to pay attention to see how many they use, and we'll watch it very closely. What it shows to me is that the Iranian military is that much in sync with the Russian military, to where they can easily transfer this kind of technology. And you remember we talked about that with the beginning of the war in Ukraine and Russia, was that Ukraine, and the issue was Ukraine was not really trained on a lot of U.S. systems. So it didn't matter if we could send them a bunch of U.S. systems, we'd have to train them. So their immediate need was actually Soviet-era systems and Russian-made systems. That's what they knew how to use. They didn't know how to use. But if the Iranians can send drones to Russia and they can use them, that means that they are in sync.
Of course.
So the question is, are Russia, Iran, and China in sync?
Okay, so we've got Senator.
Senator Cruz is joining us. I know he's in a hearing. Senator Cruz, let me just ask you right off the bat. We've got President Biden heading to the Middle East. What do you think is going to come out of this?
Well, I assume he is going to grovel and beg the Saudis to produce more oil, and it's because the White House has realized they've got a political problem. They spent a year and a half attacking U.S. energy production. They spent a year and a half driving up gas prices, and suddenly they've discovered with an election coming up in November that people don't like paying $5, $6, $7 a gallon for gas. And so the president is reduced to begging the Saudis. He's also begging the Iranians, and he's begging the Venezuelans to produce more gas. He wants everyone to produce gas and oil and gas on planet Earth except for Americans producing American jobs.
You know, another issue, Senator, that is obviously very significant is that the economy, the Americans are really hurting right now. It's not just the cost of gas. It's the cost of food. It's the cost of fuel. It's the cost of living. And it seems like we're going back. I feel like we're in the Jimmy Carter days again. That's what it's a flashback for me.
Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, there's an old saying that history doesn't repeat, but sometimes it rhymes. And the parallels between Biden and Carter are staggering. You and I are both old enough to remember double-digit inflation,
yep.
to remember rising unemployment, to remember gas lines going around the block, to remember our hostages languishing in Iran for 444 days while a weak and impotent president wrung his hands. And the encouraging thing about that analogy, because on every front, Biden is following the same pattern but doing it worse. And the encouraging thing is it took Jimmy Carter to give us Ronald Reagan. And I think Joe Biden is setting up what is going to be a tidal wave victory for Republicans in November of 22. And I think he's setting up for a tidal wave victory for Republicans in 24 as well.
You know, Senator, we appreciate you jumping on. I know you had a busy day. You just came out of a committee hearing. We're hitting a hard break, but I appreciate your time with us. Folks, again, you're hearing from the people that are making the policy decisions right here in this broadcast.
Yeah, in the middle of the policy decisions while they're being made. So appreciate Senator Cruz joining us. Senator Blackburn is going to be joining us the next segment of the broadcast. And again, get your call starting to come in, 1-800-684-3110. President Biden's trip to the Middle East, your thoughts on that. Your thoughts on, again, his meeting with the President of Mexico as well today. 1-800-431-10 to talk to us in air. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Secular. We're joined now by Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. Senator Blackburn, I want to go first to something about the... It's really shocking, actually, that this even occurred, that the president sold, as report, 1 million barrels of oil from the nation's strategic reserve to a Chinese gas giant linked to Hunter Biden. And you said it's a China-first policy instead of America-first policy. And it's like as if Hunter Biden is negotiating these deals at a time when Americans are still being punished at the pump. Why on earth are we sending $1 million worth of a million barrels of oil from our strategic reserve, Senator Blackburn, to China?
Well, it is a good question. Why would they do this? Because when you are filling up your car and you are paying near $5 a gallon for gas, you're looking at what Joe Biden has done, and he hasn't done anything that gets down the price at the pump. Not one thing is lowering the cost of a gallon of gas at the pump. So you have to ask, is this being done for Hunter Biden? Why are we sending part of our strategic petroleum reserve over to the Chinese? You know, we're drawing this thing down at the rate of about a million barrels a day for no other reason than we will not produce this domestically. Joe Biden continues to say, oh, I'm going to go see Saudi Arabia and Venezuela, and I'm trying to do a new Iran deal because I need to get more fuel here. Well, how about a Houston solution? Right. And going to Houston, Texas, and talking to the oil companies, go down to Louisiana, talk to some independents, talk to some wildcatters, talk to people that are actually working in the oil and gas industry.
You know what's so ironic, Senator, is that 19 months ago, we're energy independent. Now we're totally energy dependent. Then the president sends this letter to the petroleum and the oil and gas companies saying, hey, you got to produce more oil and gas. You got to pump more. And at the same time, I want to know how much money you made last year and the year before. And the policy of the administration is basically to put these fossil fuel developers out of business in the next 3 to 5 years. So there's the message they're sending is a message of unbelievable hostility, and they still refuse to own the fact that it's their policies that have created this mess.
It is totally their policies, and this is chaos that they have made. You know what? You look at this White House, Jay, and you want to say, I've never seen such an inept group of people. But then you realize what they're doing is intentional. And they have intentionally caused this inflation spike. And they're very insensitive to the American people about this. They have intentionally caused this hike in gas. They've said for years $5 a gallon gas wouldn't bother them because you would use less. And they all believe and climate change as their religion. They feel like that the way to practice this religious fervor they have is to implement the Green New Deal and force everybody out of oil and gas and gas-powered vehicles, rather than having some common sense and saying, you know what, we need an all-of-the-above energy policy. We need some of everything. And whether it's coal, if it's coal, it needs to be clean coal. If it is oil, there are clean processes. If it is natural gas, which, by the way, is one of the cleanest burning fuels that there is, you want to make certain that we are taking good care of our natural resources and our environment. Now, there's a way to do that, but they don't want that because they're into punishing people, and they're all interested in the government having control over your life 24/7.
I mean, that's the other point, too, this idea of that this is intentional. I want to go back to this. We've said this a lot on the broadcast, Senator Blackburn, that they act inept. And a lot of people say, and if you look at the polling even, it's, I don't like the job that they're doing. I don't like what they're doing. And yet you truly believe what I believe, which is that this is intentional. This is an intentional pain on the American people. I do think that it should politically backfire come November and even in future elections. But the idea that we are going to punish the American people to ultimately get to, electric cars and which again our grid could not even put up with right now.
Well, no, you're correct about that. Our grid could not support an all-electric fleet. And when you talk to our electric power generators and also our distributors, they will each tell you they're at least 10 to 15 years away from having the infrastructure necessary to support it. And right now, they can't get the towers and the boosters, everything they need to even repair existing grid. And that's because of supply chain issues. Now, had Joe Biden not declared war on the oil and gas industry, which he did when he was campaigning, which he did day one by eliminating the Keystone Pipeline, then taking Alaska offline, offshore drilling was taken offline, ended fracking, no new leases, no new drill permits, then you look at the compilation of all of that and you say, yeah, the Keystone Pipeline could have been finished. It would have been finished this fall. We would be a couple of months away from Keystone being finished. That would be 830,000 barrels coming in per day. Right now, we are releasing 1 million a day from the SPR. The SPR only holds 750 million barrels. We're at the lowest level since 1983, and we're drawing it down, and we're sending it to people that are not our friends. China is building up their reserves. They're buying everything Russia's got right now. And then we send them 1 million barrels of oil. This is outrageous. Outrageous. Not one thing this administration has done gets the price down at the pump.
Let me ask you one last question. We've got about a minute and a half left, Senator, and that is the codification of Roe versus Wade on a federal level. Big decision out of the Supreme Court of the United States, the right decision. But now there's this talk of this codification to federalize an abortion right statutorily. What is the status and how do you think this goes in the Senate?
Yeah, I just finished in the hearing that is going on in Judiciary Committee right now. And what we know is that what the left is pushing, whether it's the Berkeley professor, the lieutenant governor of Illinois, or the legal counsel for Planned Parenthood, what they are pushing is late-term abortion. It goes much further than Roe. And we also know that what they would do is continue to use taxpayer money to push this late-term abortion. Most of the American people are opposed to that. There are greater numbers of the American people that want their legislators to make this decision rather than Congress or rather than the courts.
Senator Blackburn, as always, we appreciate you joining us on Seculo. So much great insight, both on what's going on internationally, what's going on with our oil, what's going on domestically here with Roe versus Wade, a champion for life, and a great friend of ours, the ACLJ, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. Thank you for joining us. Second half hour coming up, folks. You can be part of the show. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Joe Biden's trip to the Middle East. Think it'll be a success? Think it'll be a failure? It's a pretty simple question. It's not a wrong answer. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we're joined by Senator Cruz, Senator Blackburn. We talk, of course, about President Biden. Tomorrow he's heading to the Middle East. That's important to us, the ACLJ. We know that's important to you as an ACLJ supporter or a Seculo listener. And that's because, of course, the first visit he's making is to Israel. Now, they're in a bit of a flux. We're going to be joined by Jeff Balaban, who directs our ACLJ Jerusalem office, with a live report from Israel on this trip tomorrow by President Biden. He'll be meeting with the current interim prime minister of Israel, Prime Minister Lapid. Remember, there is the current government has fallen in Israel, so that's an interesting time to be there with the U.S.'s ally. And you're always wondering what Biden might announce, what he might announce about a Palestinian consulate, which has basically been reopened, but not officially. And it's on one of the Palestinian demand lists. It's at a time when the head of the Palestinian Authority sees us as so weak. Think about this. And then imagine how the Saudis are going to utilize that relationship. Palestinian Authority, not very strong on its own, like we talked about on the show. But they have made a demand, and they've said that if Joe Biden's visit fails to meet the demands of the Palestinians, we will take decisions or actions against Israel and the United States. They demand the removal of the PLO from the congressional list of terror organizations, which, by the way, President Biden can't do. That's the congressional list of terror organizations. The reopening of the PLO office in Washington. I mean, any of those things, though, could be potentially done by President Biden. And I think that's why you have to watch very carefully what we might be giving back to the Palestinians because of their threats. Have you heard much from Hamas? Have you heard much from the Palestinian Authority? Yes, there's been some stabbing attacks. Yes, they've increased some of those smaller scale attacks. They did get a gun in one of the attacks. But the truth is that these governments are at a very weak point right now because of the Abraham Accords. They've been isolated in the world. But it'll be Biden, let me guarantee you. I mean, I'm asking you that question, 1-800-684-3110, but I think Joe Biden's going to roll out the red carpet for the Palestinians on this visit. And he's going to meet, I don't know if he can meet all of their demands because some, the executive branch can't do alone, but others, he can. And so I get very concerned when you got a very weak president and very liberal advisors who would love to please the Palestinians.
Well, here's the problem, and you said it exactly correct. We've gone from a situation where we had a total reshaping of the Middle East. You had countries in cooperation with Israel that you never would imagine, including Saudi Arabia, including the Gulf states, Jordan, Egypt. And they recognize that the Palestinian situation, which never changes, because the leadership will never let it change. Their goal is always to do the same thing, and that is harm the Palestinian people. So now they put these threats in place to the United States saying, hey, if you don't do this, you know what's going to happen here? We're not going to, they're not going to have a security agreement with Israel. Now, here's the problem. If the Palestinian Authority got rid of the security agreement with Israel, let me tell you what happens. Palestinian Authority lasts about, you know, a couple of days because Hamas would take over. Now, Mahmoud Abbas knows this. Now, the question is, does President Biden understand this? Does the administration understand this? And why are they not building up on the Abraham Accords? Coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, you're going to hear from Jeff Balaban, our senior counsel, in our office in Jerusalem. You're going to get a live report from Jerusalem. It's very important for you to stay tuned. Share this feed with your friends so that others can get involved. But again, it's a unique aspect of the ACLJ. We have an operating office in the capital of the Jewish state of Israel, Jerusalem. Your support for the ACLJ allows that to happen. We're in a matching challenge campaign. We encourage you, if you're able, to donate at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We also encourage you to share this feed with your friends if you're watching on any of our social media applications. But if you can and able to support the work of the ACLJ, this would be a great month to do it. ACLJ.org. Back with a live report from our offices that you all fund. You're part of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Back with more in a minute.
To secular. So it's been a trip that's been on the calendar, off the calendar, discussed a lot. Not so much the part about, by the way, should President Biden visit Israel? It's what's going to happen in Saudi Arabia later. But he is visiting Israel at a time when the government fell. So you got kind of this interim prime minister and talk of potential more elections. So you got those issues. You've got Palestinian demands from the Palestinian Authority. So this is not Hamas, but from the West Bank Palestinian Authority saying, if you don't do what we say, Joe Biden and the U.S., we are going to take these actions against Israel. We're going to take actions against the United States. By the way, that alone only happens when you have a very weak U.S. administration, a very weak U.S. administration with an old man in the Palestinian Authority who has stolen so much money from his own people, is willing to make a threat like that against you instead of just kind of sail off into the sunset, if you will. But no, he's continuing those demands. And then, of course, you have the later on the meetings with how will Joe Biden botch the Abraham Accords? It's the bigger question.
Well, they're certainly not building upon it.
He certainly didn't help that when he was saying, when makes Saudi Arabia pariah state. They're now working more closely. I think you can now travel between Israel and Saudi Arabia, Riyadh to Jerusalem directly. So all this historic positive work is happening for peace. Take the politics out of it, for peace, for the average folks who live there, for everyday people. And yet they won't even acknowledge that.
Jeff Balaban is the senior counsel for the ACLJ in our office in Jerusalem. He's there now. And Jeff, there's a poll, and you sent this, that a majority of the Israelis don't trust Joe Biden, the administration, on the critical issues. You've got a situation, as Jordan said, where the government of Israel right now is not stable because it's basically the coalition fell apart. Give us your assessment. You're on the ground there, both of what's expected on this trip and the kind of Israeli sentiment.
Well, Israeli sentiment reflects a lot of what you've said now on the show, which is a sense of bewilderment at what Joe Biden and this administration may think they're doing here. I mean, what Jordan just pointed out, you have Mahmoud Abbas, who's basically an unabashed terrorist who seems to demand only the right to murder innocents constantly, has now threatened in the most obnoxious terms the president of the United States. What self-respecting president of the United States would give him a visit, let alone come here and, to all appearances, throw open the doors, create new diplomatic links with a continued terrorist organization that has refused to really make any kind of peace, come to the table in any serious way? So Israelis are literally perplexed, and I'm getting calls nonstop to try to explain this American administration, because they're saying, even if Biden doesn't like Israel, and we don't know if he likes Israel or not, doesn't he care for America? Doesn't he care for America's interests? It's extraordinary that Abbas feels empowered to be this obnoxious, and yet Joe Biden seems to be going. By the way, Jay, that poll was, I think it was 80% of Israelis or more did not trust Joe Biden to have Israel's interests at heart.
You know, what's interesting to me about that is also the fact that the threat connotation coming from Mahmoud Abbas. He threatens, by saying, hey, if you don't give us what we want, the new embassy in East Jerusalem, opening up the PLO offices in Washington, their diplomatic offices, here's what's going to happen. We're going to cut off our security agreement with Israel. And we all know, Jeff, if they did that, he would be out of power in about 15 minutes.
He would be out of power. The very thinly veiled subtext to this is he's basically threatened renewed violence of the worst possible kind against Israelis. And I'm pretty sure that the translation of what he said seems to indicate against American interests as well. So they're going back to threatening violence. And as you say, Jay, I mean, this is against the backdrop of an extraordinary normalization and warm peace among Israel and its Arab many of its Arab neighbors. So it's very hard to understand why Joe Biden or anyone in his administration would think that what seems to be coming down the pike is good for America, good for Israel, good for anyone in the region.
I want to continue to take calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. We got another segment coming up too. We'll take even more of your calls. So weigh in here. What do you think this meeting, this presidential trip to the Middle East, how nervous are you about what President Biden may do? The concessions he might make to the Palestinian leadership, the way he could botch all of the gains made during the Abraham Accords, which they've been doing the entire administration by basically ignoring that those gains have been made. But now he's the beggar. Remember, it is the U.S., and Rick Rendell's talking about this, that is relying on foreign aid for baby formula. It is the U.S. heading over to beg the Saudis and kiss the ring for more oil when we were just a year and a half ago exporting and selling oil and natural gas? But let me go to the phones. Robert in California on line 3. If you want to be on the air, 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call now. That's 1-800-684-3110. Hey, Robert.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I believe this visit to the Middle East by Joe Biden is going to be an absolute failure for America and a great compromise for our enemies. Every policy and everything he has put in place has been an absolute failure. And I believe that if it hadn't been for the stable Trump policies that gave us a strong economy, that right now, all the things that he put in place, we would be in bigger trouble than we are now. And if we don't get him out of there, you know,
here's the problem. The dismantling of the policy, and I appreciate your call, Robert. The dismantling of the policies, Jeff, come incrementally, right? I mean, it doesn't have to come in one meeting. So you got this, they got 2.5 more years of power. And the incremental change will send us back to a pre-Abraham Accord relationship. And that is ridiculous, and I don't know why the Biden administration, I do know why, they don't want to build on anything the previous administration did. But you got to be honest and say that work in the Middle East by Mike Pompeo, obviously it was under President Trump, but Mike Pompeo and others really made a difference.
Oh, a historic difference, Jay. I mean, we have not seen, I think it's safe to say that people were shocked to see the warmth, the true human warmth in terms of the relationships that are growing between Israel and countries that have been its outright enemy for decades. And now there's business, there's tourism, you know, even on social media, Arabs and Jews from different countries, well, from Israel and these other countries are relating with tremendous warmth. All of this because of the Abraham Accords. And it's so toxic that they seem to want to go back and focus on essentially America's enemies, the enemies of peace, and coddle them while those enemies directly threaten America, as Mahmoud Abbas did, and as we saw this week. Now, the U.S. just acknowledged that Iran seems to be teaming up with Russia in ways that are hostile to regional interests, including Saudi Arabia and Israel.
And I think as a direct counterplay to what President Biden is doing this week, it's starting tomorrow, you got Putin heading to Iran next week. And you've got Iran providing Russia with drones, which, Jeff, to us, raised a lot of concerns because not just because it's Iran providing Russia with drones and that's bad enough, but it means that they're on the same operating system or if they are working to get to the same operating system so that their militaries can interchange their weaponry and be able to utilize them. And that was an issue that the Ukrainians had actually with American-built military equipment, was that they weren't really trained on that. They were trained on Soviet-era and Russian-built military equipment. So if the Russians can take in Iranian drones and use them, that means they're working together very closely.
That's right, Jordan. This is extremely frightening, and it's also curious, and I haven't really heard a good explanation, and people here in Jerusalem have been asking me, is why did the United States put this news out just now? Why today? Maybe there's some positive reason. Maybe they're trying to back off from the very unpopular Iran deal. Or maybe, and more in keeping with what their approach seems to be, they're trying to send a message not so much to Israel, but to Saudi Arabia. Sort of a veiled threat. We need you to up your production, and you need us because the other side, meaning Russia and Iran, are more dangerous to you directly now. So it could be that they're responding by threatening what should be their allies.
You know, I go back to this, and I said this earlier. I mean, this whole idea that they're negotiating with the Iranians, Jeff, and you're in the region right now in our office in Jerusalem, and yet at the same time, the Iranians are reportedly giving hundreds of drones, armed drones, to the Russians. And yet Admiral Kirby says, hey, that's not going to impact the way we do business with the Iranians on this nuclear deal. Shows me how disconnected this whole thing really is.
Exactly right. And we keep on talking, you and Jordan keep on talking about the disconnect between America's interests and goals, directly, by the way, and of course, indirectly through our ally Israel, and the behavior of this administration. And not just if we had no prior experience, but this is in the middle of tremendous growth of regional normalization for Israel after decades and decades of war. And it's almost like they're trying to break it apart, and it's unclear what their possible interests could be.
And it's unreal. Jeff, we appreciate it. Jeff Balaban, senior counsel for the ACLJ, in our office where? In Jerusalem. So we appreciate Jeff's insight and comments. Folks, we're going to the last segment of the broadcast. We want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 on any of the topics we discussed today. There's a couple lines open at 1-800-684-3110. Also, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. We have an office in Jerusalem because you support the work of the ACLJ. We're able to bring you this broadcast every day because you support the work of the ACLJ. We have offices around the globe because of your support of the ACLJ. We encourage you to do it today.
Folks, to do that, all you got to do is go to ACLJ.org, and right now you can double the impact of your donation. We're in a critical month of July. It's a matching challenge month, and when the economy is tight, we need your support. We need your support if you're able to do it. So that we can continue to continue our work, but also to grow our work as well. To donate online and be part, double the impact to your donation. That's at ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. That's ACLJ.org. All right, welcome back to Secure. Let's go right to the phones. If you want to talk to us on air, call now, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Lewis in Colorado online, too. Hey, Lewis.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I want to know, how is it that somebody can threaten us when we're sending taxpayer money to them? How's that work?
Because, one, they know they can make the threat because the administration is so weak. They know that this administration wants things from them. It wants concessions from them. It needs their help to get to things like the nuclear deal with Iran. It wants their help. They also want to remake in their image what they thought that Donald Trump messed up, even though it's led to all this peace, which is their consulate reopened. So the list of demands, I think it's kind of a game, Lewis, they're playing, which is they've got a lot of allies inside the government who want to give them their whole wish list. And Joe Biden is being advised by a group of individuals who would give them that entire wish list if they could right now.
Yeah. So here's what the articles are saying. I mean, if you look at them, what the media is saying about all this. So this is what the Palestinian media operation, the PLO's media operation, is getting out to the press, that they are angry and they're frustrated with America. They have threatened that if the visit fails to produce any breakthrough or create any political horizon, and if none of their demands are met, they will be forced to implement decisions taken by the PLO Central Council in February of this year. These decisions include suspending the PLO's recognition of Israel, revoking all of its agreements with Israel, and halting security coordination with Israel, among other measures. Now, let me just go through those for you. Let's start with revoking the recognition of Israel. It was great that the PLO recognized Israel, but you know what? Israel's legitimacy is not dependent upon what the PLO decides to or do or not to do. That's number one. Number two, revoking all of its agreements. Some of those agreements are trade agreements. They're not revoking trade agreements. Their people would not be able to eat. Number three, halting the security coordination with Israel. Now, if you've been there, and you know, we've done trips with a lot of you who have come with us in the past. We take you inside some of these areas. But let's be very clear here. Okay, really clear. If the security agreements stop, you know what happens? The PLO falls as a government, period.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, but they are willing to put all these threats out there. Now, Lewis asked, you know, what kind of threats can they make? They can increase violence substantially inside Israel. They do have the power to kind of tamp that down.
They can incite their people.
Right, or incite people. And when we say, and remember, they can even target Americans. Taylor Force Act. We don't forget that. As the world is coming out of a pandemic and travel and tours and things like that, that Israel was an important part of their economy, is still an important part of their economy that hasn't fully recovered yet, because those are usually planned out trips. People don't just say, all right, next week we're going to go to Israel, even though you can from the United States. But, you know, you want to go on to visit all of the places, biblical places. If they increase the violence there, of course, that then has a direct effect, of course, on Israelis. Israeli loss of life, security. It's also when Hamas usually decides that they'd like to take some action as well. But I think that let me take Gwen's call next, because this, I think, is the bigger issue, which is will the Saudis and other Gulf state nations finally push the administration on the Abraham Accords, celebrating those accords?
Right.
The idea that you've got a flight between Israel and Saudi Arabia now is just outstanding and unbelievable, really. Let's go to Gwen. Hey, Gwen, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Gwen.
I just wanted to know if Biden can really interfere with the Abraham Accords.
Sure.
And is there anything that can be done about that?
You know, Gwen, that's a really good question. And let me tell you about the interference. The interference is, I think the biggest interference issue would be not building upon them.
Mm-hmm.
So the Abraham Accords set in motion a momentum that was a game changer in reshaping the Middle East, totally looking at it differently. So you have all these alliances that formed because of the reshaping of the Middle East. So you had coalition partners now, like I said, Jordan, Egypt, even Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, recognizing Israel, trading with Israel, having economic partnerships with Israel, and those Muslim-led countries, Arab countries, recognize that the PLO leadership cannot be the big stumbling block for peace in the region, because their job is to do what? The PLO seems to just exist to cause problems. Now, having said that, and let me take it a step further, how do they harm it? Well, you don't build on the momentum, and then that momentum stops, and then you start giving concessions to the PLO. That's where you can cause some real problems here.
Yeah, because what the Abraham Accords did was said, we don't have to solve every problem the Palestinians have with Israelis and vice versa, to work together, to have the Israelis work together with their Arab neighbors. And specifically, you know, focusing a lot on the Gulf states and North Africa. And you know what these North African and Gulf state nations said is, thank you. Because it's been the U.S. policy and John Kerry's policy that if you don't have, if you don't solve the Palestinian issue, which is their own, you know, do they get an independent country? How does that work when you've got two different governing bodies and a terrorist group in charge of one and a former terrorist group in charge of the other? And so how do you move forward? And so it's just a stalemate and that kind of not good relations between, at least openly, between Israel and the Gulf states. And you know what the Trump administration said is, just don't involve the Palestinians in this. Let's put the Israelis directly with some of these Emiratis. And guess what worked? They talked business. They talked economies. It wasn't about religious differences or even military conflicts. And they do have a unified enemy in Iran.
Yes.
So they have a unified enemy. They should have a unifying force as the United States. That is why I think you were saying, as that is what they are lacking now, is the force to keep them going. Because listen, inside Israel and inside some of those Emiratis, you've got pressure groups who don't like these relationships, who would like to see this go off the rails. And unfortunately, it seems like the Biden administration wants to see it go off the rails.
I think that's within the State Department. Let me tell you what I hope we've showed you today. The scope and breadth of the American Center for Law and Justice. We didn't talk about our offices in Strasbourg, France, which is where the European Union is. We didn't talk about a new project that we're launching as well that we're not prepared to make the announcement on yet, but it'll have a big impact domestically and internationally. But we did talk about our office in Jerusalem. And this is an office that has been involved in everything from policy negotiations, protecting the Jewish state, protecting Christians in the Jewish state too, protecting the right for you as an American citizen to be able to safely travel to Israel. We have gone to the International Criminal Court in The Hague on behalf of Israeli interest. Your support for the ACLJ makes that possible. And what that means is, without your support, it doesn't happen. And you know, you can. And Jerusalem is like Manhattan. It's expensive. And we've got Jeff Balaban based there now. It's making a huge impact, both in, really throughout Israel, including the Judea and Samaria. Your support is the reason that happens. And I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and make an online contribution. When you do that, this month it's doubled. Now, you're not charged $40 if you donate $20. You're charged $20. But another donor of ours, a group of donors of ours, said we will match it. So we want to encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, it's a critical month for us. You know, as we hit July, you're preparing not just for the fall. It's like the work doesn't end, and we want to continue to expand that work, you know, heading into the midterm elections, heading into this new battle with Roe gone, the battle for life, all those efforts, and, of course, our international efforts. Support our work. Double your impact, ACLJ.org.